The views and opinions I express on Gaza Corner are mine and not necessarily the opinions of KALW. And last Saturday, a portion of Gaza Corner discussed the increasing voices around the globe demanding a ceasefire. And Senator Bernie Sanders conspicuously was not among them. I thought it was pretty unusual that he wrote an opinion piece, but it did not appear at that time in a U.S. mainstream media outlet. It was published by The Guardian newspaper in England, and that was on November 1st. It was headlined, "Gaza Needs a Humanitarian Pause." Well, Bernie got his wish, and so did Joe Biden. We're in day number two of a tenuous 4-day, quote-unquote, humanitarian pause, and round two has been completed in the ongoing hostage-prisoner deal between Israel and Hamas. And then this past Wednesday, the New York Times published an op-ed by Bernie. I'm going to call him Bernie. I think he would be fine with that. They published an op-ed by Bernie that covered similar ground as The Guardian, but it was not a copy and paste job. It was a little different, but the message was the same. And I think it's important to use this Gaza Corner to dissect Bernie's op-ed piece, because many progressives and many Bernie supporters were really shocked that he would not support a ceasefire. And it's not surprising that President Biden has given full support to Israel's unprecedented assault on Gaza. Emily Tripp, who is a director of Air Wars, which is a London-based watchdog, which, quoting from its website, tracks, assesses, archives, and investigates civilian harm claims in conflict-affected nations, she stated that, quote, "Israel's bombardment has become one of the most intense air campaigns since World War II. In the 7 weeks since Hamas's October 7th attack, Israel unleashed more munitions than the United States did in any given year of its bombing campaign against the Islamic State. And the UN describes it as the deadliest urban campaign since World War II. That's a quote from Emily Tripp, the director of Air Wars. All of this deadly bombing raining down on one of the most densely populated enclaves on Earth. Imagine all of this happening in an area less than half the size of New York City. And there's a link at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist. If you go to tangents.com, then go to the left-hand column, hit on the Tangents playlist, and Harry has posted several links that will flesh out this Gaza Corner. And just scroll down the playlist, you'll find it. Separately, I had him link a report to an Air Wars report called No Safe Place, Tracking Civilian Harm in Southern Gaza. As of this afternoon, Al Jazeera reported that more than 14,800 Palestinians, including over 6,100 children, have been killed in Gaza since October 7th. Recently, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called Gaza a quote-unquote graveyard for children. Estimates vary, but perhaps more than 2,000 more Palestinians are buried under rubble and yet to be counted. According to Israeli sources, the death toll from Hamas's attack remains at 1,200. Bernie's New York Times op-ed, which came out this past Wednesday, November 22nd, is titled "Justice for the Palestinians and Security for Israel." He makes this misleading analogy right from the start of his op-ed when describing the 1,200 Israelis killed by Hamas, quoting Bernie, on a per capita basis, if Israel had the same population as the United States, that attack would have been the equivalent of nearly 40,000 deaths, more than 10 times the fatalities that we suffered on 9/11. What he said is accurate and true. But what Bernie leaves out, and this is what's important, is that he does not say that if you calculate the 16,000 plus Gazans who have been killed in this mass slaughter since October 7th, it's the equivalent of 2.3 million Americans. Not 10 times the fatalities that we suffered on 9/11, 767 times. Bernie, if he's going to bring up one, he should bring up the other. Because the death count in Gaza is beyond staggering. Bernie says in his New York Times op-ed that we must be clear-eyed about facts, and states as a fact that Hamas is a terrorist organization that hasn't allowed elections since it won in 2006. Again, Bernie conveniently omits that the Palestinian Authority, who Bernie and Biden recommend eventually to take over Gaza, they've said it publicly. What he omitted was that the Palestinian Authority also has not had a national election since it lost a free and fair election. The Carter Foundation claimed it that way. So it has not had a national election since it lost to Hamas in Gaza in 2006, the same year. Hamas is designated as a terrorist organization by the United States, by the European Union, by Israel, by some other countries. But many countries also regard Hamas not as a terrorist group, but as an Islamic resistance movement. The fact is, Israel unleashes exponentially more terror on Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank than Hamas has ever done to Israelis. In my view, one needs to be consistent. If Hamas, if you want to call Hamas a terrorist organization, then Israel is a state sponsor of terrorism. The terror Zionist militias in Israel have unleashed on Palestinians dates back 75 years to the original Nakba. The Nakba took place from 1947 to 1949 during the founding of Israel, when almost 800,000 Palestinians were ethnically cleansed, forcibly transferred out of their historic homeland of Palestine, and some 13,000 to 15,000 Palestinians were killed. In 7 weeks since October 7th, already more Palestinians have been killed than in the Nakba. This is Nakba 2. Nakba number 2. And already about 1 million Gazans out of a population of 2.3 million, 1 million out of 2.3 have been forcibly transferred to southern Gaza from the north because of half of northern Gaza completely covered by rubble because of the bombing. God knows if the Gazans will ever be able to return to their homes. The Associated Press put out an article, which is linked at the Gaza Corner section. It's called, "Gaza Has Become a Moonscape in War. When the battles stop, many fear it will remain uninhabitable." 5 years ago, in September 2018, the UN Conference on Trade and Development warned that Gaza, quote, could soon become unfit for humans to live in by 2020 if current trends are not reversed. Not only have they not been reversed, but the AP reports, quote, whole neighborhoods have been erased. Homes, schools, and hospitals have been blasted by airstrikes and scorched by tank fire. When the war ends, any relief will quickly be overshadowed by dread as displaced families come to terms with the scale of the calamity and what it means for their future, unquote. Scott Paul, a senior humanitarian policy advisor for Oxfam America, said, quote, bakeries and grain mills have been destroyed. Agriculture, water, and sanitation facilities have been destroyed. You need more than four walls and a ceiling for a place to be habitable. And in many cases, people don't even have that. In 2014, Israel bombed the Gazan neighborhood called Shijaya, and they bombed it into rubble. $5 billion was put to work to reconstruct that neighborhood. By October of this year, it still was not finished. That gives you an idea of the massive amount of work and the many years that it will take to make Gaza truly habitable again. And that's only the physical component. Imagine, if you're a Gazan, the trauma that you're going through, the collective trauma of a society. Getting back to Bernie's New York Times op-ed, to his credit, he wrote that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, quote, unleashed what amounts to total war against the Palestinian people. In Gaza, over 1.6 million Palestinians were forced out of their homes, unquote. The UN's latest update is actually 1.7 million Gazans have been displaced from their homes. 1.7 million displaced out of a population of 2.3 million. I'll do the Bernie equivalency again. That's the equivalent of 245 million Americans out of 331 million. 245 million Americans being forced out of their homes in 7 weeks. Can you even imagine that? Bernie then states in his op-ed that Hamas's goal is perpetual warfare and the destruction of the state of Israel. He wrote, quote, just last week, a spokesman for Hamas told the New York Times, quote, I hope that the state of war with Israel will become permanent on all the borders and that the Arab world will stand with us. Bernie was referring to a statement by Taher el-Nunau, who is a Hamas media advisor. It's not clear he's an official spokesperson for Hamas, but regardless, after 75 years of what Israeli historian Ilan Pappe refers to as incremental genocide in Palestine, Hamas has lost all hope. Many of the Palestinian people have lost all hope. They see no path other than resistance by any means necessary, including military. Meanwhile, Israel has not sought peace, only domination. New actors in the Palestinian government, in Israel, new people are desperately needed. It seems Bernie agrees as he states in his op-ed, quote, Israel has done nothing in recent years to give hope for a peaceful settlement, maintaining the blockade of Gaza, deepening the daily humiliations of occupation in the West Bank, and largely ignoring the horrendous living conditions facing Palestinians. Continuing, in Bernie's words, quote, we must demand an immediate end to Israel's indiscriminate bombing, which is in violation of international law. Israel cannot bomb an entire neighborhood to take out one Hamas target. Let me tell you what Bernie is referring to. He's referring to the Israel bombing of the Jabalia refugee camp. It's the most densely populated place in Gaza, or at least it was. The Israeli airstrike, actually, they did it two consecutive days, killed approximately 200 Palestinians, according to Al Jazeera, as the IDF targeted and killed one senior Hamas commander, Ibrahim Biari. Bernie states loud and clear in his piece, quote, "There must also be a significant extended humanitarian pause." He deliberately avoids the words ceasefire in his op-ed. In his Guardian opinion piece, which came out November 1st, he made the misleading comment, quote, "The U.S. Congress must join many in the international community in demanding a humanitarian pause now." Actually, the United States is an outlier. The U.N. General Assembly overwhelmingly voted for a ceasefire in late October, but it's not binding in the General Assembly. It was 120 votes in favor, 14 against, and 45 abstentions. The only European countries that voted no, along with the U.S., were Hungary and Austria. Even the U.K. abstained. The vote, the actual breakdown, is linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. Bernie seems to acknowledge that Israel may have to reoccupy Gaza. The actual quote is, "There must be no long-term Israeli reoccupation." There must be no long-term Israeli reoccupation. Bernie says Gaza needs new Palestinian leadership, yet suggests the Palestinian Authority may have the legitimacy to administer Gaza, maybe after an interim stabilization period that could have an international force. Bernie seems to not understand that Palestinians in both Gaza and the West Bank despise the Palestinian Authority and its leader, Mahmoud Abbas, who is viewed as a corrupt, in fact, the whole PA is viewed as a corrupt security collaborator with Israel. There was a recent poll done. 85% of the Palestinians in the West Bank did not approve of Mahmoud Abbas and wanted him to resign immediately. Hamas is far more popular among Palestinians. Linked at the Gaza Corner section is what I think is an excellent article from the New York Times. It was published yesterday. I wish Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders would read it. Maybe they have. Who knows? It's called, "Can the Palestinian Authority Really Govern Gaza After the War?" Subtitled, "Considered Authoritarian and Corrupt, the Palestinian Authority is Still Washington's Choice to Run the Enclave. But many believe it can be credible now only if it includes Hamas." Diana Boutu, who is a human rights lawyer, at one time was a legal advisor to the PLO, but has become a critic since, said, quote, "The PA has been hanging on for dear life for quite some time. No one in the international community wants to sign the death certificate, because it means the end of the peace process. The two-state solution in this very convenient body that they can blame and funnel money to," unquote. The most popular Palestinian, and also discussed in the New York Times article, who could possibly unify Palestinians in both the West Bank and Gaza and East Jerusalem, is Marwan Barghouti, who has been in an Israeli prison for decades. If Bernie had suggested Barghouti as a possible Palestinian leader, that would have turned heads. Every U.S. administration, with the exception of Trump, since 1967, when Israel illegally occupied the West Bank, has voiced opposition to settlement expansion. But words don't do anything. Action is what's needed, because more than 700,000 Israelis now live in the West Bank settlements, illegal under international law. Bernie is the only senator I know who is willing to leverage military aid if Israel does not, quote, end the killings of Palestinians in the West Bank and freeze settlements as a first step toward permanently ending the occupation, the words of Bernie Sanders. Freezing settlements is not good enough because they're ubiquitous. It is impossible to imagine sufficient contiguous land for a Palestinian state unless many settlements are actually abandoned and the land returned to the Palestinians. Settlements are on stolen Palestinian land. Bernie describes the use of state violence to back up de facto annexation of the West Bank. He says, quote, since October 7th, the UN reports that at least 208 Palestinians, including 53 children, have been killed by Israeli security forces and settlers. This cannot be allowed to continue. What Bernie may not know is that since October 7th, settlers, with the enabling of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has forced population transfer of 16 Palestinian communities. In other words, there were 16 Palestinian communities in the West Bank that have disappeared in the last 7 weeks in the West Bank. That information courtesy of the Israeli organization Torah Tzedek. Bernie does make the important point that Netanyahu, as prime minister, passed laws that entrench systemic inequality between the Jewish and Palestinian citizens of Israel. What Bernie is describing is the essence of apartheid, but he refuses to say the A word. Finally, Bernie declares in the New York Times op-ed piece, which is linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist, Israel cannot bomb its way to a long-term solution. Yet, at the same time, Bernie does not support a ceasefire. It's a head-scratcher. ¶¶